To turn to the book of Luke, chapter 23. Book of Luke, chapter 23. We will read verses 13 through verse 26. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, said unto them, Ye have brought this man unto me, referring to Christ, as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I have examined him before you, have found no fault in this man, touching those things whereof ye accuse him. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him. For of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast. And they cried out all at once, saying, Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city and for murder was cast into prison. Pilate therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. But they cried, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. And he said unto them the third time, Why, what evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. And they were instant with loud voices requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will. And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, come out of the country. And on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. These verses are part of Luke's account of Christ before Pilate. We see that Matthew, Mark, and John also give record of what is written here. The setting of what we've just read goes back to the evening of the Passover. Jesus had been betrayed and arrested. He was then bound and led away to Annas. From there he was led away to Caiaphas, the high priest, and the elders and the scribes were assembled. It was there before Caiaphas and the scribes and the elders that they determined that Jesus was guilty of death. We read in Matthew 27 and 67 that it was there that they spit in his face and buffeted him. In Matthew 27 and verse 1, it was when the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And according to Matthew 27 and verse 2, they bound him. And then he was led away to Pilate, the governor. Pilate questioned Jesus concerning who he was, and discovering that Jesus belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he gladly sent Jesus to Herod, who again, Herod then proceeded to question Jesus, and he sent him back to Pilate. So now Jesus is before Pilate for the second time. And this is where our text picks up. According to our text, Pilate three times declared the innocence of Jesus. He did so in verse 14. Have found no fault in this man. Verse 15, lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. And in verse 22, I have found no cause of death in him. Three times, Pilate declared the innocence of Christ. And Pilate wanted to set Christ free. The problem was he wanted to set Christ free without any sign of compromise in the eyes of his superiors at Rome. He made reference to a custom that was regularly practiced. He made mention of it. Mark makes record of this in Mark 15 and verse 6. The custom of releasing a prisoner during the Passover. Since some prisoner must be released, since some prisoner must be set free, Pilate thinks that this is his opportunity. This is his opportunity of allowing an innocent Christ to go free. Now, at this time, there were several prisoners. We know that there were the two thieves. There was this man named Barabbas. And we see from Mark 15 and verse 7 that there were others who were imprisoned with Barabbas who were guilty of insurrection. But concerning this man, Barabbas, we are told in Matthew's account, in Matthew 27 and verse 16, that he was a notable prisoner. So of all the prisoners that they held at that time, Barabbas was the most notorious of all. With Barabbas being such a wicked criminal, Pilate would give the people a choice, since he had to release someone. He would give them the choice between setting Barabbas or Christ free, figuring that there was no way. Again, Pilate wanted to free Christ. And by offering Barabbas, he figured that there was no way that the people would allow such a man as Barabbas to go free. We read in Matthew 27, verse 17, that Pilate said unto them, "Whom will ye that I release? Barabbas or Jesus? Barabbas or Jesus?" Barabbas was a criminal. On the other hand, the was Jesus. He's innocent. He has committed no crime. On the one hand is Barabbas. He's guilty. He's vile. He's wicked. On the other hand is Jesus. He has no sin. He has no fault. He has no flaw, he has no defect, he has no blemish. Again, he's innocent. On the one hand is Barabbas. He's a rebel. On the other hand is Jesus. He has broken no laws. He is law-abiding. On the one hand is Barabbas. He has caused great harm to others. On the other hand is Jesus. He has helped others. On the one hand is Barabbas. He was a robber. So he was an individual who took from others. On the other hand is Jesus, a man who gave to others. On the one hand is Barabbas. He destroyed others. On the other hand is Jesus, and he saved others. On the one hand is Barabbas. He is of absolute no benefit to society. He's a detriment to society. He is a drain upon society. And on the other hand is Jesus, He had multiplied the loaves and the fishes for them. He had healed their lepers with a touch. He had healed the crippled. He had healed the diseased. He had cast out demons on many occasions from their own sons and from their daughters. He had raised up paralytics. He had given sight to the blind and hearing to the deaf. On the one hand is Barabbas. He has nothing to offer. Nothing whatsoever. The other hand is Jesus, and he's everything that they need. So Pilate says, "Whom will ye that I release? Barabbas or Christ?" And Pilate thinks, they cannot possibly think that such a one as Barabbas should be released. There is no way that they will say to set such a man as Barabbas, to set such a man free. Pilate did not think it was possible that this multitude of people would find Barabbas more tolerable than Jesus Christ. But without any delay, and with one consent, they point to Jesus, God in the flesh, the Creator, the Holy One, the Harmless One, the Undefiled. They point to Christ, and with one heart filled with hatred and anger, they say, "Away with this man! Crucify him! Release unto us Barabbas. Set Barabbas free." Pilate could not believe what he was hearing. So he asked them again in verse 20. Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. Perhaps they did not understand the offer. It is Barabbas or Jesus. One must go free. So Pilate asks a second time. Verse 21, and they cried, saying, "Crucify him. Crucify him." Verse 22, he said unto them a third time. And again, the answer is the same. And in that third time, he had then also said, "I find no cause of death in him." He is the one who ought to be set free. No, not this man. Crucify him. You release Barabbas. Now, there is a lesson here about the depravity of man. And there is a lesson here about what the will of man will choose left to himself. He will choose Barabbas. You will notice in verse 25, "But he delivered Jesus to their will." That's the will of man. What we read here in our text is really a very, very sad commentary on mankind. What we read in our text, people will say, "Oh, I can't believe that they did that." What we read in our text is played out every single day. Every single day. People prefer and choose that which is filthy, that which is wicked, that which is vile and contrary to the law of God and in rebellion against God, that which is destructive and of absolutely no benefit. They choose that over Christ. We see it over and over and over and over. All the blindness of the unconverted heart. At the end of our text in verse 25, Barabbas is set free. And he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison. In verse 26, we then read that Jesus was led away to be crucified. What we have here is a story or an account of substitution. You see, Christ and Barabbas switch places. In a physical sense, Jesus took the place of Barabbas. But in a much deeper sense, I am Barabbas, and Jesus took my place. What we read here is that Barabbas discovered redemption in Christ. It is a picture of salvation. It is a picture of the salvation that is in Christ. I want to speak this morning on I was and am Barabbas. I was and am Barabbas. First of all, we want to view Barabbas as a picture of the sinner, as a picture of ourselves. Consider his name. Every single one of us could be named Barabbas. The name simply means his father's son or his father's child. Who isn't that true of? His father's son or his father's child. The son of a father. Every male sitting here right now is the son of a father. Everyone sitting here right now is the child, the son or the daughter of a father. So we could all be named Barabbas. We are all the sons of our father Adam. His image, his nature, his character is reflected in every single one of us. I was and I am Barabbas. Barabbas was a rebel. We read in verse 19 of our text, he made sedition. In Mark 15 and verse 7, we read that he made insurrection. What that simply means is that Barabbas was a rebel against authority. He lived in revolt to authority. This means that he was proud. The proud live in revolt to authority. This means that he was self-willed. The self-willed live in revolt to authority. He was steadfast and he was persistent in his rebellion. It led to an insurrection. Like Barabbas, the unsaved sinner is a rebel. I was Barabbas. I was born with a rebellious nature. So were you. And in pride and self-will, I hated the commands of God and rebelled against his government, against his law. I was Barabbas. Barabbas also was a murderer. We read that in verse 19. Notice in Mark 15, verse 7, it was during the insurrection that Barabbas committed murder. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with them, who had committed murder in the insurrection. Barabbas was a rebel. Barabbas was a murderer. Peter, in his sermon on the day of Pentecost, made reference to the fact that Barabbas was a murderer. In the book of Acts chapter 3 and verse 14, he said, "But ye denied the Holy One and the Just One and desired a murderer to be granted unto you." Like Barabbas, the unsaved sinner is a murderer. You say, "I haven't killed anyone." Jesus said in Matthew 15 and verse 19, "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies." No, you may have never killed anyone physically, but the thought has crossed your mind on more than one occasion. We have all committed multiple murders in our hearts. We do so, the Bible teaches us, with our envy and with our hatred and with our anger and with our malice. Barabbas was a murderer, and I was Barabbas. Barabbas also was a robber. We are specifically and plainly told in John 18 and verse 40, "Now Barabbas was a robber." Now you can't get any more plain than that. Barabbas was a robber. Barabbas, like the unsaved sinner, is a robber. Robbers are self-willed. They are selfish. They are greedy. So it is with the unsaved sinner. They're self-willed. They're greedy. They're selfish. The unsaved sinner robs God of his glory every time they refuse to worship him. They rob God of his honor, refusing to believe him. They rob God of his creation when they use what God has made without any regard to God whatsoever. That is a form of robbery. Barabbas was a robber. I was Barabbas. Barabbas was guilty. You see, as you read these accounts, it was not a question of whether or not Barabbas was a rebel. It was not a question of whether or not Barabbas was a robber. It's not a question of whether or not Barabbas was a murderer. No, Barabbas had already been found and declared guilty. Guilty of rebellion. Guilty of stealing. Guilty of murder. Guilty of breaking the laws. In fact, the evidence was overwhelming that Barabbas was guilty. He was guilty. And like Barabbas, the evidence is overwhelming, and the unsaved sinner has already been declared guilty. And I was Barabbas. It's not a question of guilt or innocence. We are guilty. The unsaved sinner is guilty. And the evidence is overwhelming. For the Word of God plainly declares man's guilt. 1 Kings 8, verse 46, there is no man that sinneth not. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 20. For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. You say, well, that's not true. I know people that do good deeds. And what does God say in Isaiah? All your good deeds are as filthy rags in God's sight. They will in no wise justify you in the sight of a holy God. We read in Romans 3 and verse 9, both Jews and Gentiles, they are all under sin. Romans 3 and verse 10, we read, there is none righteous. No, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3, 23. And we read in Romans 3 and verse 19 that phrase, all the world guilty before God. The evidence is overwhelming. Guilty. And Barabbas had no merit to plead. He was guilty. And he had been convicted. And like Barabbas, the unsaved sinner is a guilty criminal before God's law. And he or she has no personal merit whatsoever to plead. I was Barabbas. We see also that Barabbas was a prisoner under the sentence of the law. Again, we read in Mark 15 and verse 7, and there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them, with others who also were guilty, that had made insurrection with him and had committed murder in the insurrection. And in verse 19 of our text, we read, who for a certain sedition made in the city and for murder was cast into prison. So Barabbas is in prison. He is not only in prison, he is bound in that prison. He was deserving of prison because he had committed crimes. He was deserving of death. And like Barabbas, the unsaved sinner is bound in a prison from which they cannot escape. And they are in that prison bound, and they are condemned. They have already been pronounced guilty. They are deserving of the curse of the law. And there they are in that prison, bound. No way can they escape. They have no merit to plead. They are simply awaiting doom. And that is true of all lost sinners today. They are bound in a prison. They have been found guilty. They have broken the laws of God. And they await, whether they realize it or not, and they don't. They await their doom. I was Barabbas, unrighteous, guilty, unworthy, undeserving of mercy, and under the condemnation of the law. Unbeknownst to me, at the time, awaiting doom. If you're here today and unsaved, look at Barabbas. Look at this man. Look at this man. I want you to look at him because you are that man. You see, Barabbas had broken the law of God. You are Barabbas, unsaved sinner. Barabbas is bound in prison with a death sentence hanging over his head, and he is deserving of such. Look at him. It's like looking in the mirror. You are Barabbas. You are Barabbas right now. If you are here without Christ, you are Barabbas. Now our text tells us that Christ took the place of Barabbas. Barabbas was a criminal. He was wicked. He was guilty. He was fully deserving of death. The mode of death at that time was crucifixion. There's Jesus. Three times Pilate has said he's innocent. There's Jesus, the innocent one. And in the end, the innocent one would die in the place of the guilty criminal. You see, Jesus Christ took that cross that Barabbas deserved. I was and I am Barabbas. Jesus Christ suffered what was due to Barabbas. Jesus Christ suffered what Barabbas fully deserved. Jesus Christ paid the penalty that Barabbas deserved. And when they nailed the hands and the feet of Christ to that cross, and then lifted up that cross and thrust it into the ground, and all the bones of Christ came out of joint, that should have been Barabbas. I was and I am Barabbas. Jesus Christ would die the death that was due to Barabbas, that Barabbas deserved to die. I was and I am Barabbas. We also see that Barabbas was released. There he is, bound in his prison. Each day that passes, doom gets closer and closer. That's true if you're here without Christ today. Each day that passes, doom gets closer and closer. If you're here without Christ today, you ought to thank God that you've made it this far. But I remind you, that being said, I remind you that doom is getting closer and closer. So there's Barabbas. He's bound in this prison. His actions, he had broken the law. His actions have sealed his fate. You have broken the law of God. Your actions have sealed your fate. Doom. I was Barabbas. But on this particular day that we read of here in Luke 23, there he is, imprisoned. Doom hanging over his head because of his crimes. And I just imagine that as he's sitting there, perhaps he hears the sound of footsteps. And they're getting closer and closer. And then his cell door swings open. Barabbas! Get up. His shackles are removed. And Barabbas just knows this is it. And then he hears those words. Barabbas, you're free to go. You're free to go. Barabbas, you have received a full pardon. Perhaps Barabbas would say, well, how's that so? A man named Jesus is going to die in your place. Notice verse 25. And he released unto them him that for sedition and murder he was guilty. But he was released. He was set free. All because of one called Jesus. I am Barabbas. I have been released. I have been set free from the condemnation of the law. All because of one named Lazarus. Jesus. But there we were. We were guilty. We were condemned before God, facing impending doom. Absolutely helpless, fully deserving of God's wrath, and completely undeserving of God's mercy. And then came that day when I heard those unforgettable words, "You are free to go. You have received pardon. One named Jesus has taken your place. He has suffered and died the death that you so fully deserve. He has fully paid what you owed. You are released. You are set free. You are loosed." Yes, I can truly say, I am Barabbas. Do you remember that day when you were released from the chains and the prison of sin? All because of one named Barabbas. Can you say in that way, I am Barabbas? Yes, I was guilty, but Jesus died in my place. And and I have been set free. All because of what Jesus has done. May I say, when I was in that prison, I was not set free because of religion. I was not set free because of baptism. I was not set free because of works or merit on my part. I was set free because of Jesus. And if you're here and in prison today, religion will not set you free. Baptism will not set you free. Your good works, your good intentions will not set you free. Only Jesus can release you from that prison. What we have read here today in Luke chapter 23 tells of a perfect Savior for notorious sinners. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that there is a perfect Savior for the most notorious of sinners? Oh, how we ought to rejoice in such a thing. I ask you today, if you're here without Christ, can you see yourself in Barabbas, guilty, condemned before God, fully deserving the wrath of God, with no merit whatsoever to plead? As such, if you can see yourself as Barabbas in that way, as such, your one and only hope is Jesus Christ. I ask you today, can you see Jesus in your place? Can you see Jesus in your place on the cross? Suffering what you deserve and paying the penalty of your sin. Can you see Jesus in your place? Trust in Him. Put everything in that basket. Everything. Put it all there. I am fully trusting Jesus Christ. I am guilty. I have broken the laws of God. I am deserving of God's wrath. But Jesus went to the cross for me, and I'm putting all my trust in what Jesus has done. That's your only hope today. And however old you might be today, how many days you may have lived up to this point, if you're here and lost, you are bound in a prison, and you're not going to live forever. You're not going to live forever. You're going to die. This life is going to end. And for all who die outside of Jesus Christ, doom. Eternal doom. But there is a way. There is a way of escape. There is a way to be released, and that is Jesus. And He is the only way to God the Father. I put everything, my whole eternity, I put there. Do you trust? Who are you trusting today? Everybody here, with no exception, other than little infants. Everybody here is trusting something. You're trusting something concerning your eternity. You say, well, I don't even believe in eternity. Well, that's what you're trusting in. Your non-belief of it. Your hope that there isn't an eternity.
But we're all trusting something. But there's only one. Jesus. Jesus. Do you know Him? Do you know Him today? Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us.